Cutting down trees, they're putting up reindeer and singing songs of joy and peace. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on.
Like Joni Mitchell, I love a river, which is why I'm going to be in Prague on the Vltava or Moldau River this Christmas, standing in Wenceslas Square, where good King Wenceslas last looked out on the Feast of Stephen. And I'll be looking at some wonderful old churches and hearing traditional Christmas carols. Hello, I'm Rachel Kahn, and this is The Spirit of Things on RN. This Christmas, why not find yourself a church, one with stained glass windows? Go in and ponder the stories, the serenity, and the light shining through the colored glass. This week, we've assembled a number of South Australia's best poets who've done just that in St. Bartholomew's Church in Adelaide.
Hello, I'm Jude Aquilina. I'm an Adelaide Hills poet. I live on a walnut farm and I've published 4 books of poetry, and it was a great pleasure to be involved in the St. Bartholomew's Church writing project. We gathered there on a warm, sunlit day, and I remember seeing the spire up in the sky as we arrived. And then it was quite dark as we walked into the church, and my first image was of the stained glass windows appearing like keyholes, and that's where this poem began, and I fleshed it out around them. St. Bartholomew's Church, Norwood. On entering St. Bartholomew's Church, I am washed with a gentle calm, akin to slow rivers and soft leaves. Stained glass windows, like keyholes to heaven, bring blessings of light from above. Even a cobweb swings serenely in time to a high draught, tickling young John's ear as he stands beside Jesus and the bearded apostles. The wooden ceiling is like the hull of an upturned boat. In rows of red cushioned pews, its crew gathers and sings, sailing to salvation under the guidance and illumined eyes of Christ and the saints. In the foyer, the Mary Magdalene charity box overflows with groceries, and the urn is always bubbling. There are welcoming smiles for all who enter. Outside, the steep roof pushes through white-capped sky, launching pigeons and prayers.
A benign presence in Jude Aquilina's poem, the windows of St. Bartholomew's Church arouse all kinds of thoughts and emotions in the poets you'll hear today, from devotion and comfort to a sense of irony and history. The project was the brainchild of 2 poets, Tom Sullivan and Aidan Coleman, who edited the final collection of poetry called Light and Glory. We'll hear from them later in conversation and also reading their poetry. But first, another look at the light through the glass as a metaphor of faith.
I'm Maggie Emmett, a poet, an editor and reviewer, and a consulting editor in South Australia for Five Island Press. I currently run Poetry and Arts Oz, organising poetry readings in art galleries. I'm a mother, a grandmother, and a poodle tragic. Fire of faith burning. Calm and undaunted, in this place I sit. No haunted darkness. Peaceful, softly lit by the silent and searching sunlight. All life upon earth can wake from my deadly suffering, can take bright, dazzling shadows from the night. These window stories made from coloured pane, rainbow threading through apse and sacred lane, a childlike security reignites that fire of faith burning in darkest nights. St. George's heroic inspiration, dragon slayer's triumphal elation, all evil mastered by the brave and good, the simple message clearly understood, a metaphor of battle we must face to strengthen conviction and courage, brace to fight that call so selfish, cruel action, unkind, careless, cold and gutted of love. Instead, reach beyond, to reach far above, to a power sending light through the glass, sand to infinity, each grain shall pass, the glittering white in the shaft of light, dispelling all shadows and fears from the night, peaceful and watchful of sunbeams at play, calm and undaunted, in this place I stay.
I'm Steve Evans. I've written a poem called Church Music, which was driven largely by the idea that the stained glass is silent, but that it has so much to say, that there are voices, and indeed that there's music in the church. So I combined the two, thinking of the glass and the characters on them as a kind of choir. Church music. One, chorus. We're drab and glorious, plain and beautiful as air. Outside's blue kerosene vapour breathes through us all day. We're cardboard cutouts living on borrowed light, frozen medieval glossies, the slowest of slideshows. We may be ghosts, but we know desire. When you look away from us, we still flicker in the corner of your eye. Two, solo. By day I am all Disney, gaudy as Gaudi in my glassy glad rags, a vivid test pattern portrait. At dusk, the light begins creeping back out through my brittle skin to the speckled sky. Nights, it's like sleep. Days, it's like dreaming. There's no stiller life than mine.
The still life of stained glass windows in St. Bartholomew's Anglican Church in Adelaide depicts St. George, John the Baptist, and the Holy Family. But it's the window featuring the Nativity that drew many of the poets, including Aidan Coleman, one of the editors of the collected poems published as Light and Glory.
Hi, I'm Aidan Coleman. I'm a teacher and speechwriter, and St. Bart's is my local church. My second book of poems, Asymmetry, came out earlier this year. As a member of St. Bart's congregation, I had always considered the Nativity Window by Napier Waller to be one of the most stunning windows. The window features a rather unconventional but beautiful Mary and is rich in symbolism. One particular feature that I allude to here is among the various stars, a single red star above the infant Christ. That other star. It would happen on a purple night, the darkness pierced by a star ever so marginally brighter to those who knew what to look for. Mary holds Christ's attentive weight, God struck wordless by a mother's love, and the townsfolk gather as at a doorway in Mary's blue radiance, impatient for imminence, each unaware of that other star, not silver, but a diamond of blood.
Hello, I'm Rachel Mead. I've had a short poetry collection published in New Poet 17 by Wakefield Press, and my long collection was shortlisted in the 2012 Adelaide Festival Literature Awards. The poem that I'll be reading today is about a really beautiful Art Deco window that, as soon as I saw it, just grabbed me, and especially since the main figure is the Virgin Mary, and it's the only window in the church that actually features a woman. Nativity. This dragonfly wing holds the nave aloft. Crystalline star fracturing heaven's end. Motherhood honoured in the shallows. They assemble, night-soaked, Bethlehem stacked purple at their backs, gazing out steadily, no joy or tears, indifferent to the paradox of needing day to light this endless night. Only the child twists for air, cracking the watery surface, his scarlet halo leaping from the frame, the vivid shade of imminence, memory, and the odd, portentous star.
That portentous star in the night sky, signalling the birth of Jesus, a child whose life and death would bring salvation. These are the themes that lie behind the coloured panes of glass at St. Bartholomew's Church, Adelaide. And on this Spirit of Things for Christmas 2012, I'm speaking to the two poets who edited the collection of poems called Light and Glory. Aidan Coleman and Thomas Sullivan, congratulations on conceiving and putting together this lovely book, Light and Glory, which is a collection of South Australian poets, including yourselves.
Thanks.
Thanks, Rachel.
Well, these poems are all responding to the stained glass windows of St. Bartholomew Anglican Church in Adelaide. Tell me about St. Bart's and its history, and particularly its stained glass windows.
Well, the church was built in the 1850s. It's one of Adelaide's oldest churches. And the stained glass, there's a lot of 19th century stained glass in it, and also some 20th century, probably most famously, two windows by Napier Waller, the Nativity window and the Crucifixion window. And also the altar window, the northern window, was transported from St. Peter's Cathedral in the early 20th century. And the stained glass is renowned, and there's been a lot of books featuring it.
And St. Peter's is also in Adelaide?
Yeah, in North Adelaide, the cathedral.
Aidan, have you had a special relationship with St. Bart's over the last few years?
Yeah, I've been going there as for 7 years now. And a few years ago, I ran some poetry readings there. And a few of the poets actually featured in the book read their work on those nights.
And has that tradition of poetry readings at St. Bart's continued? Has it become a sort of hub for contemporary poets?
Yeah, I suppose so. The attendance has sort of got some momentum up the poetry evenings a few years ago, and the recent event got 150 people there. And there was a buzz, I think, around the poetry scene in Adelaide, and a lot of enthusiasm for the project. And I suppose also a lot of new work written for the project. All the poems in the book are original, written in response to the windows. But also there were plenty of other poems that are not featured in the book, and some of those were read on the night as well.
Well, Tom Sullivan, whose idea was it to launch this project, which is so specific? It's actually getting poets to respond, all of them to respond to something particular, and especially something religious, which these days can be a little challenging to the writing fraternity. So whose idea was it?
Well, it was an idea that originated with Aidan and I. Over last summer, Aidan was commissioned by the Red Room Company to write poems to do with a group or a club or a society. And Aidan's choice, as he said, he's had a long involvement with St. Bart's and chose to write from that community about those windows. He invited me along as a poet who was experiencing some writer's block. And we're good friends as well as that. The other involvement I had was that I did the photography for the project. So we had these wonderful couple of afternoons and mornings where we spent time in the church in St. Bart's, taking photos, writing poems, conversation, and enjoyed it and had a really productive time there. And it came to us that it would be a wonderful thing to share with other Adelaide poets. So over the following weeks and months, we extended that invitation and had the church open on a number of occasions and had, in the end, it was around 30 poets come in and join us and write.
Well, the collection of poems actually begins with one by the 17th century poet George Herbert. Was his poem, which is called The Windows, an inspiration?
It was. We were aware that there was a long history in English literature and a long history in Western literature of poets and writers writing about art. And we've thought about this project as being part of that long tradition. However, we weren't aware of there being any recent well-known poems about stained glass. And the most recent we could think of was the one that was written by George Herbert, and George Herbert died in 1633. So it's been quite some time since stained glass has made an appearance that we're aware of in poetry.
Gosh, that says something, doesn't it, about where poets are? I mean, if they're in the pews looking up at the windows, you would expect them to be writing poems about those windows, but perhaps poets aren't sitting in the pews too much these days.
Well, there's a long Anglican tradition of poets. Probably the most famous convert is T.S. Eliot, but they seem to draw their inspiration from more diffuse topics, I'd say, and not when it was drawn from art, not from stained glass.
Well, can we hear George Herbert's poem?
Certainly, and again, the poem is called The Windows. Lord, how can man preach thy eternal word? He is a brittle, crazy glass. Yet in thy temple thou dost him afford this glorious and transcendent place to be a window through thy grace. But when thou dost anneal in glass thy story, making thy life to shine within the holy preachers, then the light and glory most reverend grows, and more doth win, which else shows waterish, bleak and thin. Doctrine and life, colours and light, in one, when they combine and mingle, bring a strong regard and awe, but speech alone doth vanish, like a flaring thing, and in the ear, not conscience ring.
Do any of you want to comment on that poem?
Well, I think, Rachel, you mentioned if there were more poets in the pews, perhaps we would see more writing about stained glass. And I think what we see there in George Herbert's poem, and I think what we've seen through the poems that have been written for the project, that when poets are there with stained glass, there is a real richness in the aesthetic that they're viewing and in the connection of the glass to the community present and past within a church. And also a real richness of colour and symbol and metaphor that really does open it up to poetry. And I think that's why we've seen such a wonderful response from the poets here. It is a difficult thing for a poet to come to a given topic, a topic they've been asked to write on and to produce something that is so moving and so wonderful and in a practical sense that is publishable. And yet we've seen that. We've seen poets who would otherwise write about a great range of other things, each bringing to it their own idiosyncrasies and their own style. But at the heart of it, we still have these wonderful stained glass windows and the inspiration that they've given to these poets.
I think the narrowness of the topic actually helps people to write. Having a few images in front of them and knowing that they had to produce something from those images. It's often paradoxically the way poetry works. If you set yourself confines and sort of tasks that have these certain rules, you might think if it was all open season, more poetry would come from that, but often it doesn't. And so, Tom, you got over your writer's block with this project, for example. Mm. Yes.
Yes, I did. And I did write a poem for the project, and one that I'm very happy with, and have in the course of it developed a great affection for St. Bart's and for that wonderful place in terms of its atmosphere and the wonderful windows, but also the wonderful artwork of Napier Waller, who in his time was a very prominent monumental artist in Australia.
Mm. The other thing was with the Red Room Company sort of commissioning me to write a poem or poems with a club or society, that was a challenge that they were going to pay me to write something, and I had the pressure that I had to produce something, which is for poets, normally they don't, you know, you just work away until your next book, and if the poems are no good, you don't put them out there. But I knew this was going on their website, and I was being paid to do it, so that really put the pressure on. But other poets found this pressure helpful as well. They knew they had a deadline to work to, and they had to produce something original. And in a lot of cases, some of my favourite poems of theirs are in this book.
The book is Light and Glory, and this is the spirit of things at Christmas on RN. You can find us and the stained glass windows at abc.net.au/radionational, where you can also download the audio. Here is a Christmas carol from Czechoslovakia, reflecting my roots. The Czech Christmas carol, Nesem vám noviny, we bring you news. Before I return to my conversation with Aidan Coleman and Tom Sullivan, here are a couple of poems that focus on the theme of the Nativity. The first one is by Maggie Emmett, celebrating the birth of children and of one child.
All births are precious gifts. Infant child, born in stable innocent, a blessed birth, by herald angels call. Yet in his crib he looks not heaven-sent, too small and pure to suffer for us all. All births are precious gifts of love and life, each child to each parent a sweet delight. Harmony's bond between husband and wife, glittering hope for a future made bright. Tender shoot we nurture and grow, tall and strong, to adult flower, watched each day and passing hour from the first day the seed was sown. This baby, born to cradle misery, to promise man eternity, must give his life to settle sin and hold the pain of love within. Infant child, whose birth story told in glass, a blessed life, through light shall pass. Yet in his crib, so seeming meek and mild, this perfect hope, this perfect child. Shine, you bright stars, fling your light spears, pierce sharp the hearts of all of our fears. Reach beyond all time and space to look upon that holy face. Somewhere in our dreams and imagining, locked in patterns bold and captivating, release us now to simple, golden days, dancing along light's shaft, where colours play with blues of the sky, the river and sea, unfettered beauty rich, vibrant and free, leaping with life energy from the sun until our long days are over and done.
I'm Tom Sullivan. I live in Adelaide. I've published one collection of poems and edited a couple of others. I also did the photography for the Light and Glory project. The poem that I wrote is about the Nativity Window, which was designed by Melbourne artist Napier Waller in 1938. And I wrote about this particular window because it has a very striking, very contemporary-looking Mary, which is very different from the Western art that we're used to. So the poem is called Virgin and Child. In a certain light, her smile, if it is a smile, is all eyes and almost flirtatious, defiant, offering something complex that might trouble us if we try to define it. She meets our gaze or gazes beyond us, knowable and yet remote from us. Her gesture refers us to the child, who simply defers us back. Her gaze, her gesture, his gaze, a night over the sleeping city, and the star shrill as ice.
Do you think that poetry is perhaps underused in the church setting, that parishioners could benefit more from actually reading contemporary poetry that's responding to the sacred place?
Well, of course, a lot of churches have the liturgy, and that's very poetic, and some of the books of the Bible are, especially the Old Testament poetry. But I think it can add to a church service, and at our church we've incorporated poems at various times. When Liana and I baptised our daughter Beatrice there, we had a poem to go with that by a contemporary English poet. So I think it does add something, and I think the goals of poetry and the goals of the church sometimes coincide in really beautiful ways.
Well, the virtue of poetry, especially when reading it in a setting like a church, is that it personalizes the articles of faith in a way that's really highly subjective, and it therefore invites us to a more personal kind of experience of the faith. And I think of Maggie Emmett's All Births Are Precious Gifts, in which she mingles the universal experience of infant children like yours, Aidan, and the infant child whose story is told in stained glass.
Well, always the poetry is in the details, and there is a highly subjective element, and I think the success of this project has had a lot to do with that, that there's a whole range of takes on the windows, a whole range of writing styles, but a whole range of attitudes and beliefs people are taking to the project, but all authentically themselves when they're writing.
Well, certainly not all the poets in the volume are necessarily writing devotional poems. Tom, your poem, Virgin and Child, well, to my ears, it sort of sent an ambivalent message. The virgin is somehow remote from us, in your words. What was your frame of mind when writing it?
Yeah, good question. The frame of mind, and I think you're right about the ambiguity, the perspectives that I came to that window from was very much evoked by the depiction of Mary within that window, where I think there is an ambiguity in expression, and it is one that's very contemporary, and very striking. It's a very modern-looking Mary and a very young-looking Mary, a very personal one, which I think is at odds with what we see very often in Western art. And within the course of the project, we did speak to two older ladies who joined us for the evening when we read the poems, who were actually able to tell us that it was their grandmother who the window commemorated, and that it was an image of their grandmother that this stained glass window was based upon. But it is a very... it's a window with a Mona Lisa expression, a very ambiguous one.
And I think Tom's poem plays around with the Christian tradition of, you know, immanence and transcendence, that, you know, Mary's gazes at us but beyond at the same time. And, you know, the part you write about, it might trouble us if we tried to define it, that the greatest truths are often beyond words, or we try to express them in words. That's sort of negative theology tradition, I suppose.
Right. Well, Aidan, your poem on the transportation of the north window is really striking because it actually takes the window down and flat packs it and bundles it away in a taxi, which is a really interesting contrast to the windows up there that you gaze reverently on. And it kind of deconstructs and desacralizes
and
the window.
But rises again at the end of the poem. The church is in the eastern suburbs, and obviously, actually, that window is at the northern end of the church. Traditionally, the altar window is at the eastern end of the church because facing that way, looking towards the resurrection. But I did like this idea of stained glass being bits and pieces, and the idea of sort of taking apart beards and odd feet, and also dispiecing the wing stumps of angels' shoulders. The altar window's remarkable. It's got so much detail going on, and I sort of spiraled out from there to think about stained glass in general and the sorts of parts you'd be dismantling.
Well, Aidan, I suppose that's a good metaphor for faith, because sometimes people's faith is in pieces. They take it down and then they put it together again. They see it in a new light. Can I ask you about your faith and your involvement with Bartholomew's Church?
I've been going there for 7 years, and I suppose as a church... I think it was St. Augustine who said that the church should be a nursery for sinners, not a finishing school for saints. And it has that feel to it. It's a really loving community. And about 5 years ago, I had a stroke, almost died from.
And how old were you?
31 at the time.
Gosh.
It was caused by a brain tumour. And it just proved to be a really loving community that got me through that period. And we've been going there since that time. I teach Sunday school there and look to do other things like the poetry readings and stuff like that. And it's a really community-minded, outward-focused church, which I love.
Well, it sounds like they love you and you've given a lot back to them.
Well, maybe in this book there's been a lot of enthusiasm about the book, but it's been such a fun thing to do it in itself, I think, the whole project.
Rachel, I was about to say, Aidan's comments about attending the church, it was also of interest to us that St. Bart's is still an active church, that we were looking at these stained glass windows and writing about them, items that have an aesthetic value and also a spiritual value, but it being really important to us throughout the course of the project that it was still part of a living church, that it was a church where people were still actively involved in faith, that they weren't museum pieces or gallery pieces, and not only an involvement with the congregation present, but through the windows which memorialise past members of the community, that they're present in a way as well. And artistically, you've also got the people who have designed the windows and manufactured the windows. So an interesting thing that part of the inspiration that they've given and the wonderful effect that the windows have on people who are in St. Bart's is the fact that a group of poets have created more art, that there's been more response on from that.
That's wonderful. Well, Tom, are you also a member of St. Bart's?
I'm not a member of the St. Bart's community. I've certainly been very warmly welcomed by them. The writing that I do does come out of a Christian tradition, as Aidan's does. The tradition that I write out of is a Catholic one.
Tom Sullivan. This is The Spirit of Things on RN, and this Christmas program takes us into St. Bartholomew's Church, Norwood, in Adelaide, founded in 1856, where the stained glass windows dating from the 19th century and later record the passing of generations, as well as the biblical story of Jesus. I pick up with Aidan Coleman and Tom Sullivan where we left off, but not before hearing our next poet, who has a very appropriate name for this time of year.
I'm Martin Christmas. I'm a theatre director. I graduated from the Victorian College for the Arts. I've got a master's degree in cultural studies from Flinders University in Adelaide. I've been writing poetry since high school, but I pursued a career as a freelance director and teacher. During 2011, I started reading poetry at Friendly Street Poets. And this year, I've been a Friendly Street mentored poet, working with Jules Lee Kosh, one of Australia's top imagist poets. The poem. I wanted to examine the connection between past and present congregations at St. Bartholomew's. For me, the link comes through the stained glass windows and their donors. The sadness of stained glass faces. Step through the gates off Beulah Road, another world not Norwood. Quaint reminder of a time forgot. Anglican Church of Australia reads Oz, but Holman Hunt's The Light of the World could easily come with his lantern knocking at this door to light the mother's hallowed anguish. The soldier with the piercing spear, St. Alban beheaded for his faith, St. George the Christian Roman soldier put to death for his belief. These windows are emotion-filled, and you are drawn to witness, mark, the sadness of these stained glass faces from a time so long ago, yet here around you still. Look closely at the faces of St. Bart's, for others also shine, and these not etched with sadness or distress. Jesus with disciples talks, a mother's love of newborn babe, and winged angels caroling, lovest thou me, and feed my sheep. A dove proclaiming gently, in this cross, salvation. What past and present link do all these faces have in common? Below the faces are the names, once members living, now etched with loving care, the Hunts, the Andrews, Walls, the Gosses, explorer, soldier, father, son, and others gone before. Thus, in one stroke revealed, connection with the name cards in the nave, Alcock, Coleman, Derwick, Pengelly, and congregation present. A timeless faith links stained glass faces and St. Bart's at 10 today. A simple, clear relation. Decide to enter through this door, and you will find salvation.
Thank you.
Well, you quote W.H. Auden at the beginning of the book, who says that art is the chief means of breaking bread with the dead, which is, I must say, a pretty gloomy perspective of, in this case, poetry as epitaph. Surely poetry has more of an enlivening function.
Well, I do use that as a starting point in the introduction and say these poems break bread with the living. But I think Auden would have meant that in a joyful way, reading that in the context of his other writings. But I think he's talking about that thing Tom's just spoken about, of the generations being present. It's more of the Catholic idea, the mass sort of past generations being present there as a presence. I wouldn't know much about that myself, but I had a real sense, the minister actually said on the Sunday after the project, that these windows were put in here 100 years ago and still speak to us today, and this is something past generations have given us. So I probably look at that as a joyful thing.
Well, it sounds like the windows really do need poets as the middlemen, or middle women, as it were, who are allowing those panes of glass to speak in a new way.
Yeah, I think they both need each other. And on the night, I know people have gone to a lot of poetry readings before. Some of them hadn't that came along. But they really liked the idea of something else to look at besides seeing a poet read. Their gaze to be sort of guided to the windows.
Well, what do you think is the future for poetry these days? Is it all being gobbled up by the popular song industry?
Well, we've had popular songs for a fair while and really good poetry being written. I'm optimistic about it in that I think our time-poor sort of culture might affect people reading 1,000-page novels, but shouldn't affect the reading of poetry. And I think people will go there for the two things, the excitement and the buzz of something being said well, but also for nourishment, be that spiritual or intellectual. Poems can provide so much, even a two- or three-line poem.
Well, Tom, how long have you been writing poetry?
I've been writing poetry for a long time. I was bitten by the poetry bug as a very idealistic 14-year-old. I'm now 30, so I've been fairly serious about it from that time. I have only been pursuing it as a public art, as an active part of the poetry community for the last 5 years or so. But that's been through having poems published, but also working with quite a few poets here in Adelaide, editing work as well.
Is your poetry very much a part of your faith experience, your faith life?
I think the reading I do within the poetry I read certainly is. I think if your faith is part of your life, it will find its way into any expression, any sphere within your life, whether that's artistic or vocational or relational, it will find its way in. The poetry that I've written in the past has tended to be very much about location and landscape and place, but I think any poetry that is affirming positive values and transcendence, which I think is the core of poetry, finds its way back to spirituality at its heart.
And Aidan, how long have you been writing poems?
Like Tom, since high school, but they were pretty bad when I started, mainly influenced by T.S. Eliot, and writing about a lot of themes like mediocrity and old age and things that I didn't perfectly understand, and a lot of general, vague sort of poems. So I started writing seriously probably in my early 20s at uni, and I came to poetry the second time through reading contemporary Australian poetry, And what I loved is it charged the landscape around me with meaning, sort of amplified everything, and just gave life an extra dimension.
And what are your guys' views of rhyming? Because I was really thrilled to read some of these poems that actually rhymed.
I'd say I can speak for both of us, we probably both like it, but we like it so much that we think it should be rarely used, in that it's very hard to do well. I wouldn't be averse to using rhyme and writing some sonnets if I think if I thought it was my best work, but it's very difficult to do well. So there are people writing really well in rhyme today. A lot of UK poets do it really well, but a lot of people do it badly.
And the art of poetry, as with any art form, is with its subtlety, and it's a very difficult thing to rhyme in a way that is interesting and subtle. So it's to be admired, I think, where it is that, and unfortunately, it's rare.
A friend of mine with his university classes does the test where he'll read out a poem and get the students to guess the rhyme, and when they can all pick it, he say, well, see, this isn't very good. But then he'll go to W.H. Auden and read through, you know, give them the first rhyme, and hardly any of them can guess it. And he'll say, you know, surprise is one of the marks of good poetry.
Well, I wonder whether either of you are anticipating a Volume 2, Light and Glory, which looks at the stained glass windows of another church.
We've had a lot of conversations about where the future of the project might take us. There are certainly conversations about a second reading, not in the immediate future, but a little bit further, perhaps early 2014. We're still being approached by poets by the day who we're very sorry to have missed an involvement with the project, and who are still very excited about it. I've certainly still got a few stained glass poems in me.
And the, just sitting in the church together and writing poems, and we you know, took a stack of books along to the church and would swap poems and stuff like that, we'll definitely do again this year. The other thing is, one of the visitors who came along to the evening is from the UK, and they were talking about they really want to get something like this up and running in their local church there.
Well, there are quite a few poems here about the Nativity, and I think this book is going to be very much appreciated this Christmas. So I congratulate both of you for this project. It's really beautiful, including the gorgeous images which you, Tom Sullivan, have photographed from the windows themselves. Thank you so much for being on The Spirit of Things, and Merry Christmas to both of you.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Aidan Coleman. Originally, the St. Bart's altar window resided in St. Peter's Cathedral, North Adelaide. It moved to St. Bart's earlier last century, and I couldn't find many details about this, so as I often do in poetry, I made them up. When I visited York Minster, I was fascinated by the stories of stained glass being taken out and packed away to survive the German bombing raids, and this poem is about that dismantling process. On the transportation of the north window. Dismantle the beards and the odd feet, the green of date palms and pained faces, the urgent sky's banner and dinner plate halos. Fracture with care the bended knees, the fingers pointing to already over. Dispiece the wind stumps of angel's shoulders, blunt Christ's aphorisms word by word, flat pack and taxi through electric dusk, to rise again in the east. Thank you.
My name is Jennifer Liston. I'm originally from Galway in Ireland, and I'm now living in Adelaide. I've published 3 collections of poetry, and I've just finished an MA in creative writing at the University of Adelaide. When I came to the church to look at the stained glass windows, they were really beautiful. I was very moved by this artistry. I started thinking about the perspective of the stained glass windows themselves, giving them a bit of a thinking process, if you like, and this is how this particular poem came about. Stained glass redemption. In your stains of sin and grace, see my colours, shapes. We have our filters, you and I. Like the artisan who worked my pigments and dyes, hammered outlines and soldered joints, you forge your own beliefs. You construct truths and cast judgments. In the morning, incident light through me is luminous with promise. In the evening, diffused, reflective, like later in your life. We endure through the ages, you and I, remarkable, fragile, each testament to an artist's vision. I am eyes to your soul.
Stained glass poetry, enabling us to see through a glass brightly, perhaps more clearly than before. Jennifer Liston closes our poetry readings with Stained Glass Redemption. They're all collected in a small book, Light and Glory, edited by Aidan Coleman and Tom Sullivan, and inspired by St. Bartholomew's Church Norwood in Adelaide. And the stained glass images are actually up on our website for you to see at abc.net.au/radionational. Well, I wonder how many collections like that could be compiled around the country. Perhaps it's a project for you and your parish to consider. That's the spirit of things for 2012. We've so enjoyed this year and especially want to thank all the people who kept spiritual diaries and shared them with us. There were such rich lessons in them all and a great testimony to how much we can learn from each other. All 10 will be aggregated on our website for you to enjoy at your pleasure. And we're kicking off RN Summer with one of the most riveting of the diaries kept by Ross Fitzgerald. I'm Rachel Kahn. Jeff Wood and I wish you a great Christmas and a bounteous new year. And I'll return in 2013 with some new stories in my kit bag. Till then, have a great summer.
Available as an Encounter podcast, 2012 marks the 20th anniversary of the High Court's Mabo decision. So how far have we come?
Australia is still the same colony that was created in 1788, and it has not taken any significant steps, including in the Constitution, to take account of the First Peoples.
Indigenous artists, activists, and the hunting grounds of the imagination. And you can download or stream this Encounter from the RN website.